We're going to be in Ephesians again today. Praise the Lord. Remember that we talked about, well, when we started the book of Ephesians, that Apostle Paul is in prison. In this case, he is in prison. He was taken by the Roman government. There in the book of Acts, we had a study about that where we talked about it. And they kept him around there in Jerusalem, around that area for a while there with some of the leaders of the Roman company. And then they shipped him off to Rome. And Apostle Paul was beheaded in Rome. But he was there for a while, and praise the Lord, he really let his light shine constantly. He wrote these letters. He wrote this letter to Ephesus from that place there in Rome. He didn't have a nice place either. It was a terrible, terrible situation to partly be in one place and then partly another. At one time, you can read this in Acts, they let Apostle Paul go and stay in a house. But they had soldiers in there guarding him all the time. But it was a chance for the people in Rome that knew the Lord, that he wrote the book of Romans to. They came out and they were ministering. He was ministering there to them there, even with those old soldiers watching him out on everything. But then they just finally just disposed of him, just allowed him to die. And but, praise the Lord, it didn't dispose of him, did it? he's in the heavens, and he's waiting for all of us to come one of these days. He'll be coming back with the Lord Jesus. Isn't it a beautiful thing to know all the things that we know? I hope that's true of all of us, that we all know quite a bit. Praise the Lord, because we've been in the Word, a lot of us for all our lives, but a lot of us in the meetings. Now, last week we had the communion, and so we kind of cut this thing short. So we're going to begin with verse 9 right now. Praise the Lord. And it says here that the Lord, we're going to pray to first, but we'll start there with that part, okay? Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless the Word as we study today. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you so much for the opportunity we have, Father, to learn the truth and the Word, Father, through your revelation of us in our little minds that don't always have everything that's needed up there, dear God, but oh, how you meet our needs and you reveal it to us. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal the truth to our heart in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to read with verse 8, okay? Paul says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints," and this was humbleness on his part, because actually he was the leader of everything as far as the grace message, but he didn't want exaltation of himself. "In this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Oh, what a thing. What a statement. There is nothing on earth that we can do to have more knowledge of Christ than what we have through the Apostle Paul and the Word of God and all of the other scriptures. Praise the Lord. The Word of God is so wonderful. Hallelujah. All of these unsearchable riches that we have in Christ, it's all right here for us just to take it by faith. Believe the Word of God and follow, and he's going to bless your life with great and wonderful, wonderful things. In the latter part is going to be in heaven with great rewards if we walk with the Lord and learn this unsearchable riches of Christ. Praise the Lord. We may not be rich in the natural, but we are rich in the spiritual when we really love the Lord. Verse 9, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Yes, it is a mystery to a lot of people. They don't understand it. But he wants by the power of the Holy Spirit and by our knowledge of the Word of God and studying the Word of God, it's going to cause us to have what the fellowship of this mystery is. This word mystery, it means in the Greek, I can't say the Greek word, so I tell you the English meaning. It means a secret, an idea of silence. So in the natural sense, people don't understand the things of God, and they don't understand Paul's epistles especially. But when we read this, that to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery, it's no longer a mystery to our heart. When we open up our heart and say, here, I want to understand this, Lord, show me what it means. And he will do that. Oh, I praise the Lord for that. The secret is made to our liking, to our ideas and understanding. Praise the Lord. So many don't want to understand God's great plan. In Matthew, you don't need to turn, just let me quote this to you. Matthew 13:11, Jesus Christ answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It is given unto you. God has given every one of us something wonderful, and that is to understand the Word of God. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit especially, there's a wonderful thing that happens where he just keeps revealing things to us. He keeps showing us. Praise the name of Jesus. So how precious it is to know the Lord. Hallelujah. And fellowship in this mystery that is a mystery to a lot of people to try to understand the Word of God. Hallelujah. Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. What a precious thing to have the Lord Jesus Christ. From the beginning of the world, it hath been hid in God, but it says that all things, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The little word there, it has been hid. It means it was concealed away. It was concealed away to keep it secret, to hide it. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I don't read the Bible, I can't understand what's being said. Well, the problem is that we have to let the Lord reveal to us. And some people don't want to, you know, submit themselves to God and say, Lord, I don't understand what this means. Would you please show me? You know, they expect that they should know everything already by themselves. But we have the Holy Spirit who reveals the Word of God to us. And so we can always come and understand the things of God. This has been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. It was concealed away, but now it is revealed. Number 10, to the intent. Now, why does God want to reveal the truth to people? What is that? How come? What is the intent? The word intent means the aim. In the Greek, it means the aim. God has an aim at teaching us the Word of God. The intent, to the aim that now, right now, this time, and it's late, isn't it, in years, actually, it's over 2,000 years now since Jesus Christ was here on the earth. But praise the Lord, it's not too late for us. Now is now, right now. So that now, unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdoms of God. Now, when you read those two words, principalities and powers, you might think, well, this just means the devil and all of his works and all of that. But when we look up those meanings, the word principality means chief in order and time and place and rank. So what is that? That's God himself and all the angelic being and all of, and Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of God right now. They are the chief in order, the heavenly, the miracle working powers that are there in that heavenly place. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. At the first, as it says there, that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. So how does all that work? I believe that this is the way it is, that those people, the angels in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of God, the Holy Spirit, all of those are working right now in our behalf to give us an enlightening to what the Word of God means. So a lot of people try to read the Word and they say, oh, I don't understand that, and they don't even try. But the Word is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, by God our Father, and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of the people of God that preach the Word and teach the Word and are very interested in bringing forth this word of truth to people. Hallelujah. But here especially, it's speaking about the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known. See, the Lord wants to be known. He wants us to understand it. And that's why he has revealed it to our hearts. And he has, it says there, is known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Boy, this is a wonderful wisdom of God. Manifold, great. There, you know, the things of God can never, never just, we can't come to the point, say, well, I understand all that. I already know all that. I don't need to hear that. It's so wonderful what the Lord has in this manifold. So many different areas, so many different parts. He has all of this truth for us to know, and he wants us to know it. He wants us to study the Word and to seek after him for the understanding of it. Oh, hallelujah, so precious. Glory to God. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purchased in Christ Jesus our Lord. What was the eternal purpose? That was that people would come to know Christ as their Savior, as he says right here, which he purposed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Every single person in this world could be born again if they would just accept Jesus Christ. What a beautiful thing that is. An eternal purpose. It's eternal. He doesn't say, well, now we've dealt enough with people and there's a lot of them won't believe, so we're just not going to do it anymore. God never says that. Till the time that Jesus Christ comes to this earth again, till the days of the tribulation, the 7 years of tribulation, there'll be people that are saved in that period of time. But they've waited a long time, and many of them will just have to suffer an awful lot. And a lot of them will die in the tribulation. But, oh, praise the Lord that this is according to the eternal purpose which he purchased in Christ Jesus, God the Father. In the latter verse we've just read says the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God and his eternal purpose. He purposed it to be like this, that it would all be in Jesus Christ our Lord. Our salvation would be free. It would be an eternal security. We praise the Lord for that. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Praise the Lord. There's a scripture that says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I know I've had people tell me, well, I don't have faith. I don't have faith for that. Well, the reason maybe that you don't have the faith that you need is because you haven't been into the Word enough, reading the Word of God and believing that God has everything for us. It's not us. It isn't because I'm real good. It's because the Lord's working. He's working in us. He is changing us and making us to love him even more. Hallelujah. In whom we have boldness. We have boldness in Christ Jesus our Lord because he's offered all of this to us. He's given us the word, which is so plain, and access. We have access to the things of God. It's opened unto us, praise the Lord, with confidence by faith of him. We have confidence. I hope everybody here can say, I have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe. It's faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Hallelujah. Verse 13, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Now here's Apostle Paul sitting in the prison. It wasn't a nice place. I mentioned to you about them putting him in this big old keg thing that was huge, and they just put him in there at one point. And then, but later, they put him into prison. Then another time, they put him out in the little house with some guards guarding him. But he ended up being his head cut off. But praise the Lord. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulation. He was writing to people that really cared about Paul. And he was saying, please don't faint at my tribulation. Don't let the enemy defeat you in this. Praise the Lord, but be victorious. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Paul did not want the people of God to grieve at what had happened to him. God allowed him to be in that prison. Things like that are kind of hard. You know, I had a person call me yesterday about illness, and she said, I don't understand why God is allowing this to happen. Well, there's a lot of cases like that where each one of us have come to a point where there's a sickness or there's some kind of really bad trial. And we think, what on earth is this? Why is this happening like this? You know, but praise the Lord, God is always there with us. Hallelujah. And for this cause, in verse 14, for this cause, I bow my head unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't want the people of God there that he was writing this to, that they might not really be able to overcome and that they would faint about all the tribulations he was going through. Praise the Lord. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see that in your mind where here he is in this dark, dismal prison and probably not getting fed very well and not having very many visitors? Now, we know that he did. I think you can probably name one that came, and that's Peter. Peter and maybe a few others that came. Silas was with him at one point way back. But he was there, and he was the witness of the truth of the Word of God and overcoming. Glory to God. And he bowed his knee for other people. He was still spending time in prayer, even in there. 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Praise the Lord. We are the children of the living God. Praise the Lord. Can you think of another good name? We're Christians. Praise the Lord. We are lovers of God our Father. We are the children of God. Oh, hallelujah. What a blessed, blessed thing that is. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He knows every one of our names. Isn't that beautiful? He signs it down on the list, and that is never erased. That is never erased. That is your name. And not because you were so good and so nice, it's because you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you will receive more rewards with God if you really yield your life and walk with God. It's important. Hallelujah. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Praise the Lord. The riches of his glory? Oh, my goodness. Yes. Praise the Lord. There are so much riches to the glory of God. A lot of people try to make money in being a preacher or something like that. And we know in the past, you probably have all heard of ministers that had gold little houses for their dogs and all kinds of weird stuff that they wanted that money. They wanted more money all the time. And that's not what the Lord is speaking of here, the riches. He's talking about the blessings and the wonderful things of the Lord's glory. He wanted God to grant us according to the riches of his glory. Everything that God has for us. I don't want any gold out in my doghouse. That's ridiculous. But that was a case at one time, and you may have heard about that because I did. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Have you ever dealt with a person that says, oh, I can't do that. I don't have any strength to do that. I can't do that. You try to talk to them about the Lord and they tell you they can't do it. But praise the Lord, none of us can do it. We are dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon God the Father and the Holy Spirit. We are dependent for his work in our life. And he is so faithful. He's going to strengthen us with might by his Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. He is going to strengthen us in the inner man. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That Christ-like life that we started out with just by being born again is growing as we yield our lives to God. That Christ-like life in us gets greater and greater and stronger and stronger and stronger. And we're able by his grace to overcome all things, Paul says. Overcome all things. Walk with the Lord. Let him be your helper. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and being rooted and grounded in love, dwelling. The word dwelling there is a word that means to inhabit. Inhabit. And of course, that's what we believe. We believe that when we are born again, he inhabits us. We have Christ in us. And that Christ's life is for eternity. It is our blessing that he has given us eternal salvation. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's by faith. Glory to God that we have been rooted. Praise the Lord. You know how that things without roots don't last very good. But when we have a root in the Lord that we know, we have confidence that that is for us. It's a deeper and more stable thing. A root doesn't, if you have a good root on something, it's not going to just tumble over and die and so forth. So that's what he wants in our lives. He wants our life to be rooted in the grace of God, in the mercy of God, and in the whole word of God. Be blessed by it. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then notice again, grounded in love. That word grounded, we think of dirt, don't we? But in the meaning of it, it means founded, and maybe that's another word that's kind of more difficult. But if you say that somebody's founded in something, you mean that they're really established in it. This is their job thing. You know, you have to have certain knowledge of certain things. They're grounded in it. They are there in that place, and that's what he wants of us spiritually. He wants us to be completely grounded in love. Love of God is so important. And love for you and I to have for one another and other people in that maybe we don't even like, you know, that's not spiritual to not love people or like people. But there are things that happen like that where people don't want to be around certain people. But that isn't the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus loved even the sinners. He loved the people that were crucifying him. And he gave the one man on the cross there, he gave him, told him, said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And he didn't, you know, hold any grudge. And that's what's important. We need to be grounded in love. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the depth, the length and the depth and the height. When we see something like that, it might kind of be odd, you know. What's he talking about? Well, I think that when we study the Word of God, we find out that there's a lot more to the Word of God than just Jesus died on the cross and we accept that and that's it. The Word of God is so deep and it is so great that he wants us to be able to comprehend. And that word in the the Greek, it means to take eagerly, to seize, to possess. That's what the Lord wants for us to do when we come into trying to understand the Word of God. How do we do that? Can you just do that in yourself and say, well, I'm going to start studying a whole bunch and I'm going to understand everything? No, that isn't the way it works. It's by our yielding our thoughts and our mind and our time to the Lord and read the Word of God and think about it when we pray, when we're reading the Word of God. Think about it, just like we're doing today. What does it mean to comprehend? What does it mean to comprehend? To take it eagerly, to seize it, to possess it. Take it from the Lord. He's given it to us. We have such blessings in Him to have this opportunity. And we're going to learn that the Word of God is so deep, it has a breadth, and it has a length, and it has depth, and it has heights. Sometimes, like, you know, when I first heard the Word of God, which was very early in my life, it was pretty hard sometimes to memorize all the things that they wanted me to memorize and different things. And I'm not saying that I'm an expert now, but I'm telling you that the Word of God is just so great and so mighty. And when you start studying the Word of God when you're really young, it's really hard to understand a lot of times. But I tell you, the Word of God will come into your heart, and the more you read that Word, and the more that I find looking up the meanings of words and seeking after more knowledge of the things of God, I think that's very, very important, to comprehend, to be able to understand what is being said, to take hold of as a possession. That's what that means. In other words, I want to know that I am saved. Okay, how do I take hold of that? By possession, by really believing that in faith, that I am a child of the living God, and I have eternal salvation. I am born again. Praise the Lord. That is comprehending, really, with all the saints. Not one person has to stand back and say, well, I'm not good enough, or I don't understand, I just can't understand that. Nobody needs to say that, because we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God causes us to comprehend what is that depth, what is that height, and that length. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. When going back to that other verse there, but verse 19, what God will do in our lives as we yield to Him, this is what He's going to do. He's going to cause us to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. As we read the Word of God and we study the Word of God, we're going to start loving Jesus a lot more. We're going to love Him more because we all of a sudden realize how much He loved us, that He would die on a cross, the way, the suffering of all of that. He did that because He loved us. And so we know the love of Christ. It passes knowledge. Praise the Lord. It far passes the natural knowledge. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The Amplified Version says that this love of Christ passes all practically through personal experience. So you know that. You had to have a personal experience when you got saved. You came to the Lord and you asked Him to save you, and He did. He immediately did. He heard your cry and your faith, and He gave you that. Praise the Lord. So it's the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh my goodness, the fullness of God. Praise the Lord. In the original, in the meaning of the word fullness, when I looked it up, it said, a peace that fills up. So have you got filled up with God? Yes. Some of us have greater, we've been filled greater, maybe, than others that haven't really sought after God. But that's what we want. We want to seek after God and be filled up with that fullness of God. Hallelujah. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Oh, what a verse. Hallelujah. Now to him, let the glory go to the Lord. Let the glory go to the Lord God, Father, and Lord, Son, and Holy Spirit, that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Oh, how the devil works in that. He tries to make us think, oh, it's too difficult, it's too hard. I've had that experience in my life. I prayed a lot for my third child, who died and had muscular dystrophy, and he never grew beyond 11 months. He was a beautiful child with curly blonde hair and blue eyes, and I still think of him often because I know that it was hard at the time to think, why would God allow that to happen to me, you know, but or to my husband or to my other two children. But God is able, and he's so able, and he just comes on the scene, and he gives us the exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And boy, I'm thankful to the God, to the Lord God, about how he has helped in my life so many times with trials and tests and all of the things. He never forgets us. He never gives us up. He always is working. And if we let him, he will continue to work until the very last day that he calls us on home. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Hallelujah. The world isn't going to just end. The Lord is going to work out something here, even though there's a mess. Praise the Lord. The word, as it says there, unto him be glory. The word in the Greek means honor, praise, and worship. So if we glorify the Lord, that's what we're doing. If we praise what Jesus has done for us, we're honoring him, we're praising him, we're worshiping him. Same with Father God. Praise the Lord. Throughout all of the ages, Jesus Christ, unto the glory in the church by Jesus throughout all of the ages. All of the ages, however much it takes. Right now, over 2,000 years since Christ was here on the earth. But I'm telling you, it's getting closer and closer. He is going to come, and it's going to come soon. There's so much evil stuff going on in the United States. There's terrible stuff overseas. We can look at all that and just say, well, we don't have any chance. You know, it's just terrible. Oh, that's not what we need to look at. We need to look at Jesus coming. He is coming. Praise the Lord. He is going to deliver us. Praise the name of the Lord. Unto him let the glory, the praise and the honor and the worship be to him. Hallelujah. In the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Praise the Lord. Christ, the anointed Messiah. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jehoshua. I was looking that up just recently. It's similar to the word Joshua, but in the language of the Jews is Jehoshua. Jehoshua. And it means the deliverer or the savior. The deliverer or the savior. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And notice what he says, throughout all ages, world without end. Hallelujah. One age after another, a generation, a nation, or a time. That's what that can mean there where it says all throughout all the ages. Hallelujah.